NFL season is inching closer and closer. Who are the contenders and who are the pretenders? We have four downs to figure out your team's future. It's time now for First and Goal on the Zach Gelb Show.
Let's talk to a former NFL running back and, of course, midday host, along with Tobin in Miami on 560 WQAM, the great Leroy Horde. Leroy, how are you, my friend?
What's happening? A little tired. Just got back from Vegas.
You win some money?
A little bit, but I went for the fight.
Oh, did you? How'd you enjoy that?
It was one of the greatest fights as far as dominance that I've ever seen. For somebody to bludgeon somebody that much with counter punches and was never really the aggressor, he was like Mayweather with power. It was unbelievable. He was very patient, and he deserved that win.
So let's get to the Dolphins here, Leroy Horde, with us. Dalvin Cook, how confident are you with all this nonsense and games that are going on right now that he'll eventually wind up with the Dolphins?
I'm of the belief that, look, Dalvin's a great running back. I'm not questioning his talent. But here's the situation that you have in Miami. He says he'll take a lesser role. But he's going to take less money, because if he would have took less money, he'd still be in Minnesota. And so that's the question that I have, is that how much are the Dolphins willing to give him to take a lesser role? Because look at what this offense is, how they use the offense. Even in San Francisco, they ran the ball with a number of different players. So including they'll use Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle. They'll use a ton of receivers. They'll run reverses and counters and all these things where they're very creative offensively, that they don't really have the need for a guy who's going to get the ball 20, 25 times a game, which if Dalvin Cook wants to prove that he could be that guy, why would Miami be the spot he would go to? And so I've always had questions about that. It's not about his talent, but say if he wanted to sign a one-year deal with somebody, right? You look at the Jets. The Jets, their running back is out. They probably don't want to rush him back because he's young. He's going to get some run there. He's going to get some opportunities to carry the ball early in the season and prove his worth. He might not get a chance to do that here. So I don't really know if it makes sense for either side, even though he's a hometown guy, and that's what everybody seems to be hanging their hat on. I'm looking at it from a football perspective. It doesn't really make sense, even though everybody says he's probably going to end up in Miami.
And maybe he wants to go home, but I think you're right. I don't believe he's willing to take that much less. And I don't know what the Jets have offered him, but
right.
I think he's fine, Leroy, going to the Jets, and he'd be okay with all the things you just said. But it's clear to me right now he's trying to use the Jets to run up that price with the Dolphins.
Of course. Why wouldn't he? Why wouldn't he? And, you know, and Mike McDaniel has pretty much said he's a great running back. He'd help any team. But they're very comfortable and happy with the running back room that they have.
We talked about this before with the state of the running back position, that it's more running back by committee now and teams aren't willing to pay the bell cow back. When you see all these situations playing on out and bleep really hitting the fan this offseason, as a former running back, how do you react to it?
I just react like, you know, look, every situation is different, okay? Every team is different. You look at Miami. They wouldn't really use a bell cow running back, a guy who's going to carry it, and they're going to run the offense through him. They have so many weapons throughout the offense, they don't need that. They have a very accurate quarterback. When you look at somebody like the Jets, they may or may not need it, but they've used it in the past. Very young running back got hurt, so they may want to continue to run that offense and give Aaron Rodgers, just more opportunities to succeed If you don't have a running game and you just sit Aaron Rodgers back there and throw the football, you're asking for trouble with all the pass rushes they have in this league. You look at teams like Cleveland. You look at teams like Pittsburgh. You look at teams like Tennessee. You look at teams like the Raiders were last year. Those teams ran their offense through their running back, and for the last few years, they've had some success. There's a lot of teams that don't do that, but they rely on their quarterback. Now I ask you this. Do you trust Daniel Jones enough to not have Saquon Barkley?
I do not.
So, like, I don't understand, why are you hiding behind what everybody's saying about a running back when your situation is unique to and different than everybody else's?
Yeah,
Tennessee's accepted.
Each situation is different. You're not wrong on that.
Right. So for everybody to say the same thing, knowing that, holy smokes, you have to rely on Daniel Jones, you okay, when you look at a situation like Dallas. Dallas has always had a very good running game. They got one of the best offensive lines. Okay, do you want to hang all that on Dak? If you don't have to, why do it? Dak is a very good quarterback, but if you're going to hang him back there and say, okay, we live or die with Dak, want to do that? I've never seen offenses do that. And now all of a sudden we're starting to do that with a lot of young quarterbacks coming into the league, and trying to make or break it quick, or you switch quarterbacks when in actuality you should have other aspects of offense to give them a chance to grow and learn. And we're not doing that anymore.
Let's get to the next down. Leroy Horde here with us. Bad news, obviously, with Jalen Ramsey. The expectation is after meniscus, he'll be back in December. Can you even expect anything out of him this year when you get a guy right on the edge of becoming 30 and he suffers an injury like that?
I think you can, simply because he's been in the league long enough to know how to work around certain injuries and things like that. You know, as you get older, you learn how to deal with it. I mean, you're banged up for probably the last quarter of your career anyway. So I think he can do it, but I'm not worried because they have, you know, a lot of talent out there, and then they have this rookie in Smith that has proven that you know, maybe he can do something. They signed Eli Apple, which, I mean, okay. But
Tyreek Hill and him are going to have some fun, I'll tell you that.
Right, so... I mean, it's going to be interesting, but when you think about Kader Kohu, when you think about Needham coming back, when you think about all these guys who have been contributors to this offense, and more importantly, you add Vic Fangio, who's going to be able to take all of this and build the defense around what they have. And so I'm really looking forward to seeing, one, that front four has put a lot of pressure on quarterbacks that didn't get a lot of sacks. When you think about nose tackle slips my mind.
Christian Wilkins?
Christian Wilkins. Think about this. He's a nose tackle. He had 100 tackles last year. That's unheard of. So they definitely have the talent up front. You got Jalen Phillips. You got Chubb. They have talent to get after the quarterback. That's going to allow them not to necessarily need Jalen Ramsey because they're going to put more pressure on the quarterback and be creative that way. So I'm not as concerned as a lot of people are. Oh, no, you know, now they're done defensively. No, I don't believe that at all. I just think they're going to have to do some different things, maybe some things that Jalen Ramsey would have been able to do that these guys coming in, you aren't quite sure. And you just kind of play it out and see where that goes. But I do believe that defensively, they're going to be much better than they were last year. And we all talk about Tua. But the fact of the matter is the defense failed on several situations last year. They just weren't very consistent.
Let's get to the next down. You just said it. This is a well-rounded football team. This is a football team that I think, as long as the quarterback stays healthy, they could go win the division this year. How about the way that Tua's just handled all this? Because It's so weird when you talk about, oh, this guy's definitely going to get hurt. I understand why people say it, but you know how this usually goes. And anytime everyone expects one thing to happen, usually the opposite ends up playing on out with the health of Tua.
Well, here's the thing. He was thrust into the starting quarterback position when everybody thought he was going to sit the first year, right? We all did. When they drafted him, everybody said, okay, he's going to get a year to heal. He's going to get his hip healed, his ankle. Everything's going to be able to get stronger, and then he'll be ready for the second year. He ended up being thrust into action his first year, and then we held it against him knowing that we never thought he was going to play. And he handled all that with what was going on with Brian Flores, and Brian Flores having zero faith in him, which is one of the only problems I've had with Brian Flores.
Yeah.
If you're a head coach, isn't it your job to get the most out of every player? So Tua didn't ask to be brought here. We actually drafted him. And now you're going to say he can't play quarterback first? Well, make it work. So I think Tua handled himself like a professional, probably more professional than a lot of older guys would have handled that situation. And so I have the utmost respect for the guy. I hope he does well. The injury thing, I think last year was a fluke thing, right? Like, it's one of those things. I had a year like that, too, right? I had a year like that, and Bill Belichick even mentioned it. He said, I sat a guy out even though he was cleared. I was that guy. But you just kind of have to play it and not hope and not think about it and just go out and play football. And I think he's put himself in a position to where he has handled everything that's come his way so well that I don't have any doubts that whatever happens, he's going to be okay.
Let's get to the final down. Talking to Leroy Horde. So let me be clear. Mike McDaniel did a really good job last year. But I always feel like whenever Mike McDaniel speaks, I just don't get the joke. And he kind of creeps me out a lot. What's your read on McDaniel covered him on a daily basis?
Probably once a day we go, huh? What? But here's what I know. And here's what we always assume when a coach comes in that he's just going to be a great head coach. And head coaches have to learn too. And a lot of the things that Mike has to learn is probably as far as game ops and situations and being quicker with the plays and things like that. That's something you get. It is a big difference than being the guy standing next to the guy that has 30 seconds to call the play, right? And so now he's that guy. And so it got a little bumpy early on. It kind of got better as the season went on, and I think he'll be better at that this year. So the offense will look even better because from top to bottom, it'll be crisper. And so he says things. He's look, that team works hard. They work hard. Mike McDaniel doesn't throw anybody under the bus. He's all the players love him. They all work hard. So I'm looking for nothing but good things from him. I'm going to see he's going to be better. Tua's going to be better. The offense will be better. The defense will be better. And I'm looking for big things from him.
This year, the Miami Dolphins are going to do what?
Now, I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to give you the reason why. They're going to win the division.
I agree with you.
They're going to win the division because the Jets didn't beat anybody last year. And now all of a sudden we're going to talk about them winning the division. They might take a step forward, but they ain't there yet. Okay? And the one thing that scares me about Buffalo is Josh Allen has to be Josh Allen. Okay? Josh Allen cannot be a pocket quarterback. He's never been that accurate. One of the things that made him more accurate was his ability to run, his ability to make plays outside the pocket. And so now he says he's going to sit in the pocket more. He's never been that guy. There was questions when he came out of the into the league about his accuracy. And so now all of a sudden he's going to be a pocket passer? Like, no, you can't. You have to be you. You have to be who you are. Does he have to be more careful? Sure. But he still has to be him. How about not trying to run over people? Like, you can do what you do, but be better at it and safer at it. So when I hear Josh Allen say he's going to be a different quarterback, if I'm a Buffalo Bills fan, that scares the hell out of me.
All right, let's get down to serious business here, Leroy Horde.
Okay.
I think Penn State could actually be a good football team this year. They got a whole lot of talent, but Hickey is already become insufferable, and he thinks they're going to beat Michigan this year. Can you tell him that he's a moron?
Yes. They don't call him Hot Take Hickey for nothing. You can rewind the tape from last year. You can rewind the tape from the year before. He's been consistent with that. And then after the game, I have to send him a little tweet or we'll talk. And then I have to talk him off the cliff and say, just wait till next year. Look, I have questions about Michigan. But, I mean, Penn State, you're not there yet. You're not. And I don't know what it is. They seem to have a lot of talent. They seem to have a lot of weapons. But what happens is that your star players not making the impact to win games as, like, other team star players. You see what I mean? It's like, yeah, you can have a player that has 15 sacks and 3 picks and just cause havoc on the field. Offense isn't scoring. And so it's hard to, like, they have to put it all together.
Leroy, that coach just can't win a big game. He can't, James Franklin.
You know what? I look at it this way: players win games.
Okay.
Like you can put put Nick Saban there. If he ain't got the talent, he ain't winning. And look at Alabama.
When they got the talent, this year. Penn State got some talent this year. That's the thing.
So we said. Always say let it play out. We'll know within the first 3 or 4 weeks what Penn State looks like. And then when we get to the Michigan game, then we'll have a conversation. But until I see these young men play football, I'm not just going to assume anything. I'm not.
Gotcha. And also, Harbaugh, it's ridiculous what the NCAA is doing. 4 games a burger.
You do realize that Tennessee did the same thing and got a slap on the wrist. And they say the difference was that Harbaugh lied.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Who wouldn't? You ever met Honest Abe? Oh, you know what? I cheated. I'm sorry. I maybe have did something that was not permissible. Who does that? Stop. They need to. One of the things why people, criticize the NCAA is because there's no consistency with how they do this.
It's pick and choose.
Right. And so if you're a Michigan guy, you could be upset about it. And you notice, they never said he got suspended for the crime. He didn't get suspended for the infraction. He got suspended for lying. Now, come on. That's just crazy. Meanwhile, it's a shootout at the OK Corral with this NIL, and because they didn't jump on it first, they got no control over it. Now you're going to suspend somebody for recruit violation when kids are coming in making $200,000-$300,000 over what, a cheeseburger?
Yeah, I heard they had some lettuce and tomato on it, too.
Cheese and bacon. If he would have just got the cheese, he would have been okay. But he added the bacon, and that was too much.
Leroy Horde, you're the best. We appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, brother.